Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Hello out there in archaeology podcast land. This is Dr. Alan Garfinkel. I'm the president and founder of the California Rock Art Foundation. And what we do is we identify, evaluate, manage, and conserve rock art both in Alta California and in Baja California. We conduct field trips, we have trainings, exercise, we do research, and in every way possible, we try to preserve, protect, and coordinate treasures of Alta and Baja California rock art, of which there are many and diverse. We also work closely with Native Americans and partner with them to recognize and protect sacred sites. So for more info about the fabulous California Rock Art Foundation, you can go to carockart.org. Also, I'm open to give me a call, 805-312-2261. We would welcome sponsorship or underwriting, helping us to defray the costs of our podcasts, and also membership in California Rock Art Foundation, and of course, donations, since we are a 501c3 nonprofit scientific and educational corporation. God bless everyone out there in podcast land.
You're listening to the Rock Art Podcast. Join us every week for fascinating tales of rock art, adventure, and archaeology. Find our contact info in the show notes and send us your suggestions. Hey, Rock Art fans, this is Chris Webster. Welcome to episode 92 of the Rock Art Podcast. On today's episode, I interview Dr. Alan Garfinkel on his own show about the 2022 Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival, which, as we're recording this, happened just a few days ago. So he's fresh off the festival and has a lot to say. Welcome back to the Rock Art Podcast, and as always, when you hear my voice to start out with, that means I'm interviewing Dr. Alan Garfinkel on his own show about topics relating to rock art. So, Alan, welcome to your show.
Well, God bless you, Chris Webster. It's always a wonder and an adventure when you and I interact, and you never know what's going to happen next, but it's a blessing,
yeah.
And I thank you for this continuing adventure that we're on. We're almost pressing up to the century mark in number of different podcasts, the episodes that we have. So we'll have to have a celebration when we hit the golden 100.
We'll definitely have to do that, because actually I was just thinking about that when I saw 92. I was like, oh, we're getting dangerously close to 100. And I was thinking, man, it took us probably a year and a half of just talking about doing a podcast before we even did one. And now we're almost at 100 episodes. So
it's fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah. So speaking of things that take a few years to really come in and get really good. One thing that's been getting good consistently year after year is something we've talked about quite a bit on this show and had people involved on the show and organizers and attendees, but that is the Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival that happens in Ridgecrest, California. And you were a key feature of the Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival this last weekend as we're recording this in early November. And we're going to talk about that on this show because, you know, we've talked about the festival before, but I don't think we've ever talked about it when it's like this fresh in your mind, because it was just a few days ago, right?
Yeah, it was literally last weekend. There's a lot to reflect upon on this one, and it's an interesting dynamic. So we'll get into it. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good. So let's start with, give us an idea, because sometimes it's a little different year after year when they get different acts and performers, but lay out for us what the basic structure, maybe some of the highlights of this year's festival were, from the vendors to the, you know, things that were performing and things you could see.
So they've been up and down and back and forth and trying to figure out what they want to be and how to create a petroglyph festival. This is the only one in the world, as to my understanding.
Yeah.
And so Ridgecrest itself has branded itself, the town has branded itself as the city of the petroglyphs. So wherever you go throughout the town, you will see images of petroglyphs, either as paintings or as sculpture or what have you. Mm-hmm. So I think the town is finally beginning to recognize that they're special and unique, and have a bit of ambiance and symbolism and je ne sais quoi. What's that word? The French word for some sort of je ne sais quoi. So that's interesting. This is like the eighth or ninth year of doing this, and I've been at most, if not all of them, and seen it evolve and seen the experiments that work and don't work and what happens and what doesn't happen. And when I talk to the people who are managing the festival, you know, they have a whole different array now. They took one of the individuals, a woman, you know, rather young woman, who obviously had some talent in this arena, and she became the executive director of the festival. Now, as well, simultaneously,
cool,
they open a brick-and-mortar facility called the California Welcome Center, and that's on the main drag. And it's a beautiful, just wonderful facility that itself, again, publicizes and promotes and provides outreach to the general public with a signature or emphasis in part on the rock art. So I know we have talked about this to some extent or not, but when you go in that Welcome Center, which is right there next to and contiguous with the festival, there's a set of images, a set of headsets that you can wear, and you can take a 3D tour of both Little Petroglyph Canyon quickly, but also on the other one, you can see petroglyphs and rock drawings and rock paintings from all over the world and step into them in a three-dimensional arena. So that's brand new. That's a brand new piece of the puzzle. Rather interesting. So although that's a sidebar, it's interesting that they have been able to pioneer that and work with one of the most cutting edge and advanced people who are specializing in, you know, this, how would you put it? This historic preservation or historic interpretation, indigenous outreach and understanding on cultures throughout the world. And they're there to edify and I think bring some recognition and understanding to the exotic. How's that?
Nice. I like it. That's really cool. I can't wait to pass through Ridgecrest at some point in the future and check out that Welcome Center, because it sounds really cool. I mean, Welcome Centers are oftentimes, we see a lot of those in our travels, and they're oftentimes just a small building with a volunteer working in and some pamphlets for things in the area. They're not always, you know, really well put together things.
Yeah. And this one, when you walk in, your jaw drops and your eyes pop, because they have graphically displayed so much of the landscape and the eye candy that makes Ridgecrest special. So
nice.
That's one piece of the puzzle. And the California Rock Art Foundation, this 501c3 that I've pioneered for many years, is an intrinsic part. They actually have the books and the DVDs and other paraphernalia that they sell there that represent the California Rock Art Foundation. And they appear to have welcomed or integrated my services and the organization into what they're doing through the festival, which is remarkable.
Nice.
You know, we're basically, you know, not much of anything. You know, we have a budget of maybe $10,000 or $20,000 at most, just to pay our bills. And We lead little field trips and have cultural tours and try to do something. But to be elevated and grandstanded at a festival that brings in, you know, 5 or 10,000 people.
Yeah.
has a hundred vendors, a park, what it's called, the Petroglyph Park, that they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on to create this replica place that allows one to walk and experience rock art in a magnificent way is rather edifying and unusual. It's not something that is conventional, is it? You don't see.
No, did it seem like attendance was really good this year? I've noticed that, some events last year was a little bit of an anomaly, because in 2020, there weren't any events at all anywhere and people didn't do anything. Right, so a lot of people attended things last year. But how was it this year? Did it seem like there was a fair number of people there?
Place is packed out. Absolutely packed out. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
There are more people there this year than ever before. I think it doubled in size easily.
Jeez.
And people were there to go to the, the powwow and appreciate that. And I got a different flavor from the powwow this time than I ever have. Native people have had a challenging journey at many different levels.
Sure.
And they feel that often their culture is diminished or not recognized, and they don't know who they are. They try to live in this industrial society, but yet they also want to try to preserve their culture and traditions. And what the powwow does is bring that together in an honorable way, in a way that it's a centerpiece, a showcase to non-Indians, and it's a beautiful experience because the costuming and the dancing and the music and the food are all there. And also the various art and artifacts that are sold are magnificent. They're just amazing.
Yeah.
So I got that ambiance this time. That came through in a very authentic and explicit way that I didn't get before. I never got that.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I really, really felt it strongly. Now, there has been, critiques about, you're here in Indian Wells Valley and this is California and the Great Basin and the Desert West. Why do you show off other Indian groups from all over the country? Well, I thought about that back and forth, and they have a good dose of some of the native people that are immediately in the area. They do. And there's no reason why they should not give homage and recognition and acknowledgement to other groups as well. It's in the Native American Heritage Month. And I now really don't see a disconnect with doing that as much as it was before. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Nice. All right. Why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll talk about what some of your direct responsibilities were and how you interacted with people at the 2022 Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival. Back in a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to episode 92 of the Rock Art Podcast. This is Chris Webster, and I'm interviewing Dr. Alan Garfinkel today about his participation in the recent, and by recent, I mean just a few days ago, 2022 Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival. Again, we've talked about this a lot on this show because it's a very, you know, unique event, and it's the only one of its kind really in the world. And it's just a really cool thing that you're involved in year after year. So let's talk about that now. What were some of your direct responsibilities? And we'll start from, well, first off, you said there was 100 vendors. I assume the California Rock Art Foundation had a table there, and you were probably there occasionally.
You know, we did have a table, and they gave us the centerpiece. Literally, the first thing that they saw when they got into and entered the festival was the California Rock Art Foundation table.
Nice.
Can you imagine? Which
that's
is amazing.
Cool. Seems appropriate, though. That's really cool, though.
Yeah. So that was done. We sold books and gave away DVDs and had people sign up for if they would like to participate. And we spoke to them about the nature of the organization and about rock art and in general. But I didn't man the table at all. I was so busy that I was never there.
Nice.
What they had done and what we pioneered last year, which was just an idea that I had, was that we did walking tours of Petroglyph Park. So, of course, what's Petroglyph Park, Alan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, adjacent to the festival itself is a park that they've dedicated to the, I guess, showcasing the nature of the rock art and archaeological features that exist in the Coso Range, which is on base there at Ridgecrest. So most of it is certainly related to the understanding of this Coso representational rock art tradition, because there's many, many pieces there. Now, additionally, to do this, there's a gentleman by the name of Oliver Dowd. We even interviewed him one time. And
Ryan.
Ollie brought in tons and tons of rock. And he had to be engineered appropriately and painted or packed or somehow replicated in terms of the imagery that we wanted to render to show the people who visited what it would be like to view and instantaneously go on the base and see some of these captivating images. And so he did that, but they're massive. They're just massive. We're talking about life size or larger than life size, bighorn sheep, multiples. These things stand up, you know, as little beacons or icons. And as people drive by, they can see them. Besides that, they have these larger than life size figures that are the decorated animal human figures that are done in metal. Those appear alongside as well. So what we have is a great outdoor laboratory or outdoor school, an educational platform, where as you walk around, I can lecture and tell them and talk to them about the nature of my research for the last 50 years and talk about, here's this rock art, here's a bighorn sheep, here's a otoliths, here's a bow and arrow, here's a decorated animal human figure, here are some serpents, and what do those mean? What do those imply as to the nature of the religious metaphor of Uto Aztecans or native people? And why would they have depicted these beings or these figures? And how does that relate back to our understanding of the religious metaphor and the theology of rock art? You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's really cool.
So it's you couldn't ask for a better or easier thing to do. So they every couple of hours, literally, you know, it was a 2-day gig. And so at 9, at 11, at 1, at 3, I did walking tours.
Yeah.
And they took about an hour. So
wow.
I barely had enough time to jump back and see what was going on and grab a bite to eat or anything before I had my next tour. And mm-hmm. it turned out that the groups were substantial. They, one time we had three, of time we had 10, then we had a dozen, and people were very, very interested. And this seemed to be something they promoted and publicized and made people aware of, and they wanted it. Mm-hmm. They signed up for it, and they walked over to the particular park, and they waited for me, and then I walked around for an hour and went from exhibit to exhibit and asked them questions and talked to them and interacted, and it was a blast. It's a lot of fun.
Nice.
But yet very educational. And I mm-hmm. think in one way, one of the takeaways on this, or the function or the particular blessing that might be, is if they would understand something more about the heritage and the identification of Native people and gain a bit of respect. And then also if they could understand the value of these images and their potential significance to both science and to Native people.
Hmm.
So it's this, you know, it has all of these, you know, spinoffs relating to it. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm curious about what type of person, to be honest with you, goes to a petroglyph festival, right? Did you get a sense that these were like, you know, Ridgecrest residents or?
They were people from all over the place. People from San Diego, nice. people who were from LA. They had heard about mm-hmm. it. And I saw the youngsters. I saw the oldsters. I saw a lot of, you know, the in-between. They mm-hmm. had this thing nailed. They had the police out in force. They had, it was breathtaking. It was a real festival. It was a real, you know, authentic and rigorous deal. And
nice.
I was surprised at, you know, you talked to the vendors and the vendors were happy. They mm-hmm. they said there was enough people that they made money, and the food was good, mm-hmm. you know, and also the art and the sale of items was very high quality. And the powwow was well done, even, you know, and they brought it back. They brought the powwow back because they felt it could be an integral part of who the festival is. So I think it's still going to be evolving. There's mm-hmm. there's elements to it that could be even grander.
Speaking along those lines of it evolving every year, did anything stand out to you this year that was maybe different from years past or even just last year that you really noticed, whether it's attendance or some sort of event or, you know, something that happened there that was just different in a good way from past events?
They promoted and publicized a Native California Indian basket weaver and the multiple nice. Traditions or genealogies. They had the Parkers there, Lucy Parker and mm-hmm. her mother. Her mother is like 98 years old, and she was there at Yosemite for 55 years, showing the people how to fashion Native California Indian baskets. And her mm-hmm. mother was one of the finest Native California Indian basket makers in the world. And her artifacts, her baskets, you know, sell for hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million.
Jeez.
So they had these people there, and besides, they were given, you know, notoriety and able to speak on the main stage and interact mm-hmm. with the people who were there, which was amazing.
Nice.
Yeah. Talk about a bit of a coup. And also, the daughter lives at June Lake, which is right there, a stone's throw away. They're, you know, they're in the Mono Basin near Mono Lake on the eastern skirt mm-hmm. of the Sierra Nevadas. So you have an ethnic affiliation, a tie to the landscape.
I know in years past, you have given presentations. I won't call them lectures, but like presentations, almost like paper presentations and things like that on your, you know, the movie, the documentary Talking Stone and some other things you have done. Did anything like that happen this time around? Did you do any of those that say you did some of those at like the Maturanga and stuff like that before, right? The museum that's on in the city.
Over the course of the last 50 years, I've probably done half a dozen or more presentations at the Maturango Museum. And I didn't even get to the Maturango until the very last hour they were open, because I was so busy doing these walking tours. But they were you know, kind enough to sort of welcome me in, and they have for sale, you know, a number of my books and the DVDs and the et cetera. So we have all of that. And we have this basket book that was done that we've talked about before. It's an immense, unbelievable accomplishment. It has 60 weavers, and it cost $250,000 and took 10 years to make. So the Parkers and the ancestral genealogy is there in the book itself. So you've got the Lucy Parker, tell us, is the mother of the mom who is 98 years old. So there we have it.
Wow.
And so it's there on the pages, and people have a chance to digest it and understand it. And even when I was there, I got to spend a lot of time with Lucy, and she's getting a better understanding of the appreciation for the artistic tradition of basket weaving by non-Indians, which is something she didn't really understand to the extent that it occurs without looking more deeply into this book. She was shocked to find out that a number of the baskets that her ancestors have woven sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Wow. That's really cool.
So that was an epiphany, and I don't know where that's going to lead, but that's something that I think she takes away and feels good about it, in terms of knowing that there is this recognition and benchmark measure of the aesthetic nature, the artistic achievements of her people. How's that?
Awesome.
That's what I was trying to do with that book. I was the editor, not the author. And the authors of that book had an idea to put that together, and they just didn't have the deep-seated knowledge of someone who, I guess, has worked with, and both academically and interactively, socially, with the native people. And you know more about you've done that yourself, so you understand that's a two-edged sword, and sometimes you get it right, but sometimes you get it wrong.
Right. Okay. Well, that sounds like a good spot to take our final break, and we'll come back and maybe talk about some of your top one or two highlights from the festival, and maybe some future directions it could go next year or in future festivals. Let's talk about that on the other side of the break. Back in a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of the Rock Art Podcast, episode 92. And this is Chris Webster here with Dr. Alan Garfinkel, and we're talking about the Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival 2022. So we've talked about what you did there, some of the things you saw there, but what are some of your just like absolute highlights? It's only just a few days ago as we're talking about this. So what kind of high are you coming down from as far as some of the things that really stuck out to you and maybe your takeaways associated with that?
I like to talk. I like to write. I like to research. And I think I like to teach, but I teach in sort of a unusual way. I've had gigs at universities and taught there, but it's different teaching out in the open, teaching to the rocks, teaching to people what they can see and touch and taste and feel. And so when I do that and have done that, it's elevating. It's, how do you put this? I call it the COSO glow, but you get this feeling that you've reached out and informed people and entertained them and educated them at the same time. And they go away feeling happy.
Nice.
And that's what makes me happy as well. And it's really nice. Plus I'm outside walking around, getting some exercise and getting some sun. And I love it. It's just great.
And Ridgecrest isn't too bad at the beginning of November as far as temperature.
we had perfect weather. It was like nice. 67, 68, no wind, beautiful sky, just gorgeous.
Yeah.
There was a cloud bank over the eastern skirt of the Sierras, just buffeted there. Just sitting there, all those puffy white cumulus clouds sitting there on top of Owens Peak and the eastern skirt of the Sierras. Indian Wells Valley is one of the more remarkable places that I've experienced. And people come from all over the world for a variety of reasons. One thing is they have different kinds of clouds than they have anywhere else in the world because they have that where the wind stops and gets sheltered. Because it hits that eastern, that Sierra, and then it blows out and it creates these really stringer clouds that are very different. And so didn't have any of them, but I did talk a bit about the geography, the linguistic prehistory, the archaeology, the ethnology, and all the various mechanics of doing it. Plus, what's really nice is I can point to the Sierras and go, there's where the pinyon base camps are. There's where the pinyon storage caches are. That's where they dropped me in a helicopter many years ago, and I had to walk along the Pacific Crest Trail before it was built.
Nice.
And that's rather fun, don't you think? You know, it tells a story.
Yeah.
And it gives people a tremendous insight or connection to kind of my life way. How's that?
You know, as an aside, you're talking about the clouds and, you know, the uniqueness of some of the cloud formations and things like that. It made me think something I've thought about a lot of times in the past, and I'd love to see a series of books someday or even chapters in a single book where, you know, if it were chapters in a single book, like one chapter would just be weather. The other chapter would be, you know, animals. Another chapter would be ceremony, stuff like that. But highlighting rock art either in a region that's abundant with rock art like this area here, or even just rock art around the world, and like the rock art of weather, you know what I mean? Like how are clouds and rain and stuff like that represented by different groups around the world? I think that'd be fascinating. Yeah.
That's fantastic. What a fantastic idea. Thematically, you have this series of images and stories based on, you know, certain phenomenon, certain subject matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked a lot about rain. I talked a lot about bighorn sheep and about gender and about increased rights and all the above.
Nice.
And I think it surprised people. I just don't think they really had a appreciation or understanding before we did these kinds of tours of what the subject matter is and how interesting and connected it is to this deeply religious phenomenon. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And they got it.
Right. Now, and that's really cool.
Now in the future. Yeah. And I think that's important. Now, in the future, this California Welcome Center has invited us to sort of set up some sort of a program where we could provide lectures or have people attend these presentations on some sort of a, you know, a function where you'd get academics or those who are interested to assemble and have a bit of a conference. So we haven't put it together yet, but I think that would be another piece of the puzzle, because people, if they wanted to step into and learn a bit more, they could simply attend, you know, one of these papers or whatever, and hear what some of the academicians have to say and what their discoveries have been vis-a-vis the science of it all. So that's another potential piece that could be very valuable in the whole exercise.
Well, speaking of the Welcome Center, we had Eric Hansen on from Blue Planet VR again a few episodes ago, and we had him on a long time ago, really kind of leading up to a lot of the stuff he's been doing. But he was talking about, well, first off, he's talking about some of the stuff they've got going on at that Welcome Center. But also, I just want to mention, make a mention real quick. When we were done recording that episode, he mentioned the Blue Planet VR app that is on the Oculus Quest 2 system, which I have, and I use almost daily for work and other things. I mean, I downloaded the Blue Planet VR app, and it is a really cool way to just see these areas around the world in very, very good detail. It's never going to be, you know, in this day and age, it's not as good as like being there, but it's like 90% as good as being there. And it's just, if you can't actually get to some of these places, and he's got, you know, imagery from, I mean, literally around the world inside of this application, and it is really cool. And it's really neat because I don't know if they, you know, for the Welcome Center stuff that they've got going on, I don't know if they've had a chance to actually capture like Little Petroglyph Canyon or something like that. But with its remoteness and the fact that it's on a ultra secure naval installation, it's just like really hard to get there. Just from that reasons alone, it would be nice to have, you know, that as a thing you could explore through this medium. And thinking along those lines, what are some things you think the Petroglyph Festival could do in the future to really enhance the user experience from on-site people that actually show up, but then maybe year-round festivities related to stuff like virtual reality?
Yeah, I think in the future, what I'd like to do is to participate more actively. Mm-hmm. I've been involved actively, mainly in trying to acquire entertainment or content from Native Americans who are ethnically affiliated with the region. And that's been that's been an enormous challenge, by the way. So, but they've gotten them. They have gotten them. And so finally, there is that that overarching connection where you've got the regional people, but you also have the broader Native American element as well. They also have, you know, now entertainment. They've got Native American bands, literally, that are indigenous exclusively. And then they've got hoop dancers and other people that sing or lecture or tell stories, things along those lines. So they're getting sort of a repertoire, a variety of Native American entertainers. They also open the function with a woman who then sings the national anthem in the indigenous language, which is quite amazing, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so an interesting take.
So it's either a Navajo or a Paiute, Shoshone, or whoever, and they're typically recognized, and they've won an award, or somehow they're there in their particular indigenous regalia, and it's it's breathtaking, and people are really interested in this, and they're there in numbers now, wanting to experience this and recognize the beauty and the awe and the exotic nature of hearing this language that exists for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yep. I really like it. That's really cool.
Yep. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, that sounds good. And it's really cool that you were able to, again, participate in this year after year and increasing your touch on it, so to speak. And it's just, it's really neat to get that firsthand experience from somebody who, is so close to the festival itself. So, you know, if you happen to go, if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to go to the Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival, send us an email. You can send it to chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Dr. Garfinkel's contact info is in the show notes. So just look down at your device and you can hit it right there, the email, and send him a message. But it would be cool to know what your take on it as audience members and interested people in rock art, or maybe even academics, whomever may be listening to this, and see what your experiences were at the Ridgecrest Petroglyph Festival 2022. So, yeah, I think with that, we will call an end to the episode. Dr. Garfinkel, anything final to say on this?
Well, I'll see all my followers on the flip-flop, and I guess that'd be episode 93?
Yep, yep.
Yep, 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 right. Yep, as my lovely, lovely esposo tells me. God bless you out there in archaeology podcast land. Thanks. See you on the flip-flop.
Thanks for listening to the Rock Art Podcast with Dr. Alan Garfinkel and Chris Webster. Find show notes and contact information at www.arcpodnet.com/rockart. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing this podcast with your family and friends. This episode was produced by Chris Webster from his RV traveling the United States, Tristan Boyle in Scotland, DigTech LLC, Cultural Media, and the Archaeology Podcast Network, and was edited by Chris Webster.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.